This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So the subject on the table is Bob Lazar and his claims. We've got Gogs MacKay and Robert Schroeder and Gene Steinberg. Gogs?
Yeah, so of the people who have kind of tried to find out about the truth of Bob Lazar, like Stanton Friedman, they couldn't verify that when he claimed he'd worked at Los Alamos, obviously a place where you'd need to have good qualifications and go through vetting and stuff to work. It turns out that just last year, after all this time, 25 years, whatever, a credentialed scientist who still does lots of government work and often works at Los Alamos still currently, he actually came out publicly, like on Open Minds, Alejandro Rojas's show, actually saying that he remembers Bob Lazar because he was actually a popular figure there because he was into rocket cars and things like that. But he said, no, he absolutely did work there. He wasn't a janitor or whatever. He was a physicist and we all knew it. That's just kind of strange that may have been the case, that he did actually work there. It doesn't mean to say that, you know, the UFO stuff and all that is real, but it's weird that it seems like the record of him working there seems to have been misplaced, shall we say.
No, actually, I do believe he worked there. That I do believe, and I think Stanton Friedman believes that too, I think. I think he was a technician there, and I think he was, you know, highly skilled in the work that he did do there. I don't have any doubt. But I think he might have added to...
Embellished.
I think he was embellished. Yeah, that's a better word. he embellished what he was doing there. And I've heard all these stories. Oh, didn't he talk about a captured UFO? Is that was one of the things he said?
Oh, absolutely. He was back engineering it. That was the story.
Oh, that's it. Right. You can see I kind of look at this stuff, but I pretty much don't pay too much attention to it. Well, I look at it this way. If we had these crashed UFOs, supposedly we've had them since the 1940s, you'd think after 70 years would have figured out how to back engineer them. And but if you look at our technology, it's still our best fighter aircraft are still jet fighters. And after all, jet fighters were being used in World War II, you know, so that's not too much of an advance technologically.
You know, and what I think, though, Robert, I think that if we had evidence of alien technology hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us, we would have no clue how to back engineer anything except at the fringes.
Yep, I agree. That does make sense. But I do not believe we have any captured UFOs. I don't think so. I don't think there's any possibility of that. And the reason is what I was saying before, that I cannot imagine that such an advanced civilization would just allow one of their craft to crash and they just go on their merry way. The others would leave and not worry about it. You know, I think they would have recovery crews there in a hurry, you know. And not to say that these craft cannot have mechanical malfunctions. I think they can. There was a case, and I can't remember the exact details, might have been St. Louis, where they spotted a UFO that appeared to be in trouble, a typical disc-shaped one, and it was kind of wobbling, and it was very erratic, and it definitely seemed to be having some problems. And another UFO of identical shape and size came over and hovered over the first one until the first one stabilized, and they actually have a picture of it in some UFO books. Now, that sounds more credible to me, where they do have mechanical problems, they attempt to, you know, they fix it and go on their way.
So I look at it this way, that when people say, yeah, how could they be so advanced, but, you know, the thing breaks down or it crashes because it comes in contact with radar waves and whatever. But I sometimes think, you know, us right now, if we look at the kind of pinnacle of science or whatever, we can maybe look at those scientists who are creating the cutting edge satellites, you know, that go into orbit for NASA or whoever. And so we think, you know, compared to 500 years ago when, you know, the technology was that level, people from 500 years ago, if they were kind of brought forward in time and they saw that we could, you know, fly around the world in less than a day and whatever, they would think that we must be completely flawless and got everything sussed.
Yes.
But still, even the pinnacle of our technology with the best of people and materials still fails kind of quite a lot.
Yep.
So it must be disconceivable that theirs could as well.
I do believe it does, but I don't think catastrophic, although it could be, I don't think we're to the point where they would abandon their craft on the craft or something like that.
The other thing to bear in mind, too, is kind of like our intelligence here. If we go on a mission, you know, Navy SEALs or whatever, and one of our planes or helicopters crashes, we will do everything possible to prevent that getting into enemy hands. Not that it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's routine.
Right.
You don't want the primitive earthlings to have evidence of your technology, even if they didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And the other thing to consider, though, also, when you think about the possibility of a physical UFO from outer space crashing, well, maybe it was built by the lowest bidder.
That's a good point. And, Gene, you are exactly right. With our technology, where we are right now, we would not abandon a downed aircraft. We'd do everything we could to recover it. And one thing you'll notice about a lot of these saucer crash stories is that they never talk about other saucers coming in trying to recover it, you know, and that's kind of a giveaway that it's almost certainly fabricated.
Here's a crazy theory. What if the crash was staged by the extraterrestrials or whoever because they actually kind of want to give us, they wanted to seed us with this technology and see what the crazy humans do with it? Imagine it was actually on purpose.
I don't think so, Goggs, have you guys heard of Robert Hastings?
Yep.
Good. He wrote a book on UFOs and nukes, and it does appear that UFOs have a particular interest in our in our nuclear technology, and to the point where they have actually shut down nuclear missile silos, and I actually met Robert Salas, who was at one of these nuclear bases out in the Midwest somewhere, and I was fascinated to hear. Now, he didn't actually see it, but his men who were above ground, he was down in the control room underground, and their description of the UFO and how it came over, shut down the missile. And in another case, Robert Hastings talks about a UFO actually reprogramming the targeting information that the missile had, and doing things like that. And I think, you guys, after I talk to you about the technology as I get more into it, I think we may be closer to understanding UFO technology than people realize. We may be within a decade or even sooner, probably a decade or two decades. And I think my guess is there probably is some kind of federation of advanced civilizations. And I believe they want to prevent a developing civilization like ours. Once we have the ability to travel to other star systems, they don't want us to be bringing nuclear weapons to other Federation planets or even non-Federation planets.
Sounds like the day the Earth stood still. We've got more to come with Robert Schroeder. And Goggs Mackay is our guest co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over three decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Chris O'Brien's at the International UFO Congress in Fountain Hills this weekend. I'll be joining him somewhere along the line. We also want to tell you something else that involves joining. It involves you joining the Paracast Plus at plus, P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com. That's plus dot theparacast.com for information about our subscription service. The best way for you to support this show, it's a low subscription rate. You get the After the Paracast podcast. You get the commercial-free version of this show and more. Plus dot theparacast.com. Our guest, Robert Schroeder, and the book is Solving the UFO Enigma. And now for pretty much the rest of the show, we're going to look at possible UFO technology. But you mentioned one thing here, Robert, about a federation of intelligent planets, and this gives me the Star Trek image. But I also thought of Day the Earth Stood Still, where we were basically warned about our evil practices by the alien Klaatu. And then you say, if you don't get your act together, we'll take care of it for you, and you're not going to be here. So do you think that if E.T. is part of a federation, if they're concerned about our use of nuclear weapons, our warlike behavior, do you think they wouldn't take matters into their own hands if we try to make too much progress going into outer space?
I think maybe a slightly different angle. I believe that all developing civilizations undoubtedly have a history of conflict on their planets, and it's just the nature of any kind of beings that are in competition with one another for various reasons, you know. And a lot of people would disagree with me on this, but I believe as time goes on, developing civilizations become more and more civilized. And you can see it literally on planet Earth here. The last major world wars were back in the mid-20th century. But with the development of nuclear weapons, it becomes way too dangerous to have these wars between major nuclear powers. Way too dangerous. And that's undoubtedly part of the reason we haven't had any really bad worldwide wars. So although nuclear weapons are very, very dangerous, they also have a benefit. They do keep these terrible wars from occurring that have occurred throughout human history, probably peaking in the mid-20th century. But I also believe that civilizations become more and more civilized, and I'll give you an example of this. It used to be that most of the planet way back in the, 1,000 years ago, was basically pretty poor. People had to, you know, scrape out a living from farming and stuff like that. But as time has gone on, scientific and technological advances have made life easier and easier for more and more people. You look at India today, their technology is advancing by leaps and bounds. They're building roads. They have their own kind of version of Silicon Valley. We do an awful lot of, Gene, you may be familiar with this. They do an awful lot of the software for Western computer companies and stuff. And when I worked at Hewlett-Packard, I used to deal with the people in India. So as technology spreads around the planet, now think about communist China. Up until the 70s, they were dirt poor. They were doing terrible. But as Nixon opened up trade with them, and it was kind of a detente, I guess you could call it, they began, as they realized communism simply wasn't working, they began adopting Western market systems, and they began looking at, and that helped them get technology moving along. And look at them today. It's amazing. You go to Home Depot, and half the stuff is made in China, you know. And Europe, of course, has been advanced for quite a while. In Africa, people may have heard of the country of Botswana. Botswana decided to not go the way of many other African countries, which had wanted to have, you know, Marxist-type governments. Instead, they went toward free markets and toward allowing foreign investment. Sure enough, their economy took off, and they're doing terrific. And some of the South American countries ditto. And so I think prosperity is spreading around the planet. And as people become more prosperous, I think there'll be less conflict because people will have what they need. They won't have to invade their neighbor to get it, you know. And so I think this is replicated across the universe. Other developing civilizations go through exactly the same process.
Let me ask you something here. We are really viewing intelligent life in the universe in terms of the human experience.
Yep.
Okay. Why assume that? Why assume we could even understand alien motivations, alien consciousness, the form in which aliens would take? Why? Also, consider the fact that maybe now if they're thousands of years ahead of us or hundreds of thousands of years, we may not even recognize them as real beings. And maybe what we see in terms of UFOs is just an illusion or an impression based on the fact that we can't actually understand who and what they are.
Sicaro, New Mexico, the two humanoids that were there, one of them reacted exactly as a human would react, startled. And that's a strong suggestion that they are humanoid like we are. Another one was down in New Zealand. Can't remember the date. Might have been 1958. I think it was 1958. It was in New Zealand. A farmer's wife was... I think it was early morning, it was still dark, and she saw a UFO coming from way up, straight down, and had a bright green light. It lit up the paddy. That's the term they use for a field. And she dropped her milk bucket. She was going out to milk the cows. And she jumped into some bushes, and this typical disc-shaped UFO came down, and it was typical in the sense that it had a cupola on the top, a clear dome on the top. And then she noticed around the rim, there were flames shooting in opposite directions, located evenly spaced, like jets. But one set of jets was rotating in one direction, the other in the opposite direction, stabilization for certain. The light went on in the dome, and she could see two humanoids. One of them stood up and put his hands on what appeared to be the instrument panel. She couldn't see that because it was below the rim, but she could clearly see he was leaning forward as if looking down on the ground. Then he sat down again, and they were sitting tandem seated, one in front of the other. And then the light went back out, and the thing took off. But again,
let me ask you something, Robert, because we're talking about physical craft again. You don't think something like that was staged for our benefit? Maybe that's not even what happened?
I think the reason I believe that her sighting was real is because it occurred at the same time that what was that place? I'm trying to think of the name. There was another sighting, Bawana, something like that, New Guinea. It was in New Guinea, and it was literally within a week of that sighting Goggs might know about this one.
It's a missionary.
We'll have more of this in a moment with Robert Schroeder and Jean and Goggs. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Have you ever wanted
a shortcut
to getting the
underground secrets
to making money online and seriously
grow your business?
Whether it's a new business,
a part-time income,
or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success
for free.
Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite.
Go to secretsignite.com.
That's secretsignite.com.
Get your free copy now.
Go to secretsignite.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Robert Schroeder and Gene and Gox Mackay coming in here, and we're talking about the evidence for UFOs, and I really want to push more into the technology, but once again, when I'm telling you this, why are we assuming, Robert, that when you describe a physical UFO, physical creatures, all that, that what we're seeing is what we're getting?
Well, when we get into the technology, you'll get a better idea of
why. I want to do that starting in this segment, okay?
Okay, yep, good. So in the Papua New Guinea sighting, it was a missionary that Goggs had mentioned there. And that was a very fascinating one because, again, they saw these humanoid creatures, and they reacted very much like we would react. At the mission, at first, they were just astounded, and they were just watching this thing, probably no more than a 300 feet away from them, about the length of a football field, and maybe a couple hundred feet in the air. But they could clearly see these humanoid creatures walking around on the top surface of the UFO. And then they spotted two more UFOs that were floating in the background. And they appeared to be working on the top. They appeared to be doing something. But at one point, one of these humanoids came over, and it appeared to be like a railing or a rim at the top. And he put his elbows on the rim, exactly as a human would put it on the railing of a ship or something. And he was looking down at the people below, who were a bit of a distance away, but not that far. And so somebody got the idea to wave. So they waved at this creature, and to their astonishment, the humanoid waved back with one hand. So at that point, the missionary, he thought, what if I wave both arms above my head and see what happens then. So he did. He waved both arms above his head, and the creature exactly imitated that move, waved both arms, indicating there was a real communication there. He understood.
Monkey see, monkey do kind of thing.
Exactly. And it was kind of like to indicate, yes, I understand what you're doing. You're trying to make sure this is real. It is. But then after a while, the humanoid went back to the others. But eventually, all four of the humanoids came to the railing and were waving at the people below. And then finally, they got back inside their craft and the thing took off. The reason I'm mentioning these humanoids is because we are seeing humanoids in the more credible cases over and over again. So I do believe they are really flesh and blood. And when we get into the technology, Gene and Goggs, I think you'll see why we may actually be on the threshold of doing the same thing, going to other planets.
Robert, I've got a question to kind of start bringing the technology aspect in. Just a point to make as well. I'm wondering what you think current science's understanding of what actually gravity is. How is it generated? We might be able to measure it and things like that, but nobody's got an actual idea how it's kind of created and how that all really works. But what I was going to bring up is, do you think it would be the same technology that is used to do the great distances, you know, the light years to travel? Do you think that is the exact same propulsion technology that is used to fly in our atmosphere, or do you think there may be two totally different propulsion technologies going on?
Actually, when I get into the technology, you'll see it's actually different, but it's shared. There's certain aspects of it that I think are definitely shared. Oh, as far as gravity, Einstein, in his field equations, was able to explain gravity in the sense that it's due to the warping or curvature of space-time itself. But the thing that we don't know about gravity is the quantum aspect of gravity, that is, the existence of the graviton, the particle that would carry the gravity force, although virtually all physicists believe it does exist, but we've never seen it. The other three fundamental forces we've detected and studied the particles that carry those the other three fundamental forces. But I'm kind of getting into the technology here a little ahead of myself here.
Well, I really want to get into the technology now because of the fact that we have only another 5.5 segments left, and this is going to be a fun thing to focus on because it's not something we've covered much of on the Paracast, and that is how we lead to this. And when you talk about warping space and everything as a possible way for them to travel through space, you're bringing to mind Star Trek, warp drive, and the fact that is our scientists are trying to replicate some of the scientific achievements envisioned in that TV show. Of course, we have clamshells, smartphones, cell phones, that kind of thing, and tablets. They've talked about trying to have a matter transportation system, a transporter that they're working on, and warp drive. So you're telling us about the sightings that indicate how UFOs are traveling, but how do we transfer that? And understand we're not scientists here. How do we transfer that to technology that people in the 21st century can actually harness and use? Because right now, in our space program, we're just putting people on top of firecrackers,
fireworks,
basically.
Yes.
But that's the same technology we were using back decades ago. How do we get to the next level? What's going on?
Okay, that's the key. The key is what's going on in modern physics, and to give you a quick background, and everybody will be able to understand this, what happened is many people have probably heard of the unified field theory, okay?
Yeah.
Now it's known as the theory of everything, and I'll just go through this real quick. It's not absolutely essential to understand each minute detail, is just the overall picture that's important. You can think of the actual physical universe as consisting of just three things: space-time itself, whatever that is. Okay, believe it or not, we don't really know exactly what space-time is. It's something, but we don't know what it is. And matter particles and force particles. That's it. just those three: matter particles, force particles, and space-time. And the interaction of those three things creates everything we see around us. So everybody's familiar with an electron and atoms. An electron is a matter particle. The nucleus of an atom consists of quarks, protons, neutrons, which in turn are made up of particles called quarks. Those are matter particles. And then there's neutrinos, and that's about it. That's about all the matter particles there are. You know, and most people don't realize it, but there's only about four basic matter particles. Ditto for force particles that carry the forces of nature. So the electromagnetic force is carried by photons, and most people are familiar with that. But the strong nuclear force, which holds the nucleus together, is carried by particles called gluons, force particles. And radioactivity is what causes atoms to decay. So like uranium decays naturally. And that decay process is caused by something called the weak nuclear force. So you have the strong nuclear force carried by gluons. And notice the word glue, gluons, holding the nucleus together. Physicists have a sense of humor. And then the weak nuclear force is responsible for radioactive decay, and that's carried by what is called the W plus, W minus, and Z neutral force particles. So that's it. So there's only four fundamental forces in nature, and there's three non-gravity forces: the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force, and electromagnetism, and the particles that carry them. And then there's gravity, which is actually caused by the curvature or the warping of space-time, but it is believed that a quantum particle, keep in mind that the electron is a quantum particle, the gluon is a quantum particle, the W plus W minus that carry the weak nuclear force are quantum particles. They've detected all of those non-gravity quantum particles in particle accelerators, but the graviton, which is the hypothetical gravity quantum particle, they have never detected directly.
Let's do our break here, sir. More to come. We're spelling out the science of space travel or UFO travel with Robert Schroeder and Gene and Goggs. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Now's the time to refresh your home and save at Lumber Liquidators Spring Flooring Kickoff Sale. Our stores are packed with the latest spring trends like modern waterproof wood look flooring. It's up to 34% off. Or choose from more than 200 styles of pre-finished hardwood from $149. Get deals on over 55 varieties of bamboo from $159. More from 59 cents and special financing. The Spring Flooring Kickoff Sale ends Tuesday. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you today.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Chris O'Brien is off at the International UFO Conference. I'll probably join him for a few hours over the weekend. We've got Robert Schroeder. We're talking about UFO propulsion systems, and he's laying out the science here. And I know it's hard to sometimes grasp some of the intricacies, and I hope that he'll just give us the best he can in terms of trying to explain it to everybody who's not a scientist and doesn't have a couple of degrees in their hip pocket. Robert, go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. So I have to, unfortunately, go through some of those details because they are important to the larger, bigger picture. But the big thing, if you want to know what physicists are doing, one of the biggest things that they're doing is the theory of everything. They're trying to theoretically and or experimentally reunite the four fundamental forces of nature. That is electromagnetism, the weak nuclear force, the strong nuclear force, and gravity. And they've been working on this for literally decades, for heck, close to a century. And now the reason they're trying to do this is they believe that 14 billion years ago, at the time of the Big Bang, when the universe was created, they believe the four fundamental forces of nature. Oh, and let me just one little aside here. Physicists are, to a certain extent, more interested in the forces of nature than they are in the matter particles of nature. And the reason is the forces make things happen, like the electromagnetic force in a lightning bolt. And everybody knows that's a big thing, you know. The forces of nature make things happen, so they're very, very important. And anyway, scientists believe that way back 14 billion years ago, the four fundamental forces of nature were united in a single super force. But then at the time of the Big Bang, they began to break into the forces that we see today. And the first two forces that broke out were the gravity would have been the first force that broke out. And then what would have happened, then there was another force called the GOOT force, the Grand Unified Theory Force. So at the time of the Big Bang, so the first two forces to break out were gravity and the GOOT force. And the GOOT force is just an acronym, and it stands for the combination of the strong nuclear force and something called the electroweak force. But then the electroweak force broke out into electromagnetism and the weak force. So what the scientists have actually been able to reunite the electromagnetic force and the weak nuclear force into what I just mentioned there, the electroweak force. We've actually seen that electroweak force in particle accelerators. Particle accelerators, for the audience here, are giant machines where they crash subatomic particles like electrons, protons, and stuff together at close to the speed of light. And they hope to create new particle interactions and create new particles that they've never seen before. And they were actually able to create this electroweak force in particle accelerators. They are now working on trying to combine the electroweak force with the strong force, which combine into what is known as the GUT force, G-U-T, the Grand Unified Theory force. And they're kind of, they believe they're going to make progress on that. But there's one force that they have not been able to include in these unification theories, and that's gravity. And gravity is the one force that they haven't been able to include. And the question is, why not? And the reason is, and this is the part that surprises people, it's because gravity is much, much weaker than the other forces of nature. And just to give you a comparison, the non-gravity forces, the weak force, the strong force, and electromagnetism are all relatively similar in strength. And so the electromagnetic force, as a comparison to gravity, is 10 to the 36 power stronger than gravity. Okay.
Let now tell our listeners what that means, because we're getting into math here and we're getting into things that may be a foreign language. Okay.
Yep, absolutely. And I was just about to do that. 10 to the 36 power means the number 1 followed by 36 zeros. Okay, so 10 squared is 1 followed by 2 zeros, 100, and 10 cubed is 1,000, and 1 followed by 3 zeros. And so can you imagine, everybody in the audience out there, can you imagine 1 followed by not 2 zeros, 3 zeros, or 5 zeros, or 10 zeros, but 36 zeros? The difference in strength between electromagnetism and gravity is staggering, you know. And this is a huge problem in physics. It actually has a name of its own because it's something that nobody's been able to figure out. And it's actually called the hierarchy problem. And if anybody looks that up on the internet, they'll see, you know, they'll see all this kind of gobbledygook that I'm talking about here. And so trying to figure out the reason for, the hierarchy problem, the weakness of gravity, is kind of like one of the major problems in physics that needs to be solved. Anyway, to make a long story short, from starting in about the 1970s and 1980s, the physicists have been working on all kinds of theories, some of them working on the other forces, but many of them trying to figure out the weakness of gravity and trying to unify it with the other forces of nature. And again, I'm not going to go into all these different theories. It would just confuse people. But the primary theories that seem to have evolved during that period are theories called string theory and membrane theory, M theory. And M theory is sometimes also called the mother of all theories, you know. And string theory, I won't go into details on that, but the critical thing is that these theories are, and this is the key issue, this is critical, this is where I think the UFO enigma phenomena is going to get solved. These new theories, M theory, string theory, are require the existence of membranes and, most importantly, extra dimensions. Okay? We thought, you know, for general relativity and all physics theories, throughout most of the 20th century were based on the idea that we lived in four dimensions, three of space, one of time. Pretty basic. But now the latest theories are suggesting we may live in an 11-dimensional universe. And so, and that's where I think we're going to solve the UFO phenomenon, these extra dimensions. And so, can I continue or do I have any more time?
You have maybe 2 minutes for this segment, so let's go on, then we'll continue.
Okay. So to solve the hierarchy problem, along comes a Harvard physicist and another physicist from Johns Hopkins University, and they came up with an idea that maybe the reason gravity is so weak in our membrane, or our universe, is because the vast majority of gravitons that carry the gravity force are not in our universe. They may be in these extra dimensions, and that is key. And they came up with a theory called warped geometry. Notice here's where we're getting into that term, warped again.
Now and it's ready to engage.
Yes, engage. Captain, you know, Kirk or whatever.
It's Captain Picard. He said, make it so. We have 1 minute left with this segment, Robert. Make it so.
Make it so. I love it. And so anyway, they came up with a theory it looks like there may be two membranes, space-time membranes, but they're exactly parallel to each other. And in between is a space which they refer to as the bulk, B-U-L-K. And we live on one of these membranes, and that's the universe we see. When you go out at night, look at those stars, that's all part of the membrane we live on. It's a four-dimensional membrane. But there's another one exactly parallel, and that's called the Planck membrane, named after Max Planck, the German physicist who was considered the father of quantum theory, quantum mechanics. And I don't think I have much time left here. But anyway.
This is exactly when we'll break.
Okay.
As we finish the class with Robert Schroeder in our next segment with Gene and Gogs Mackay, you're in
the podcast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You may own a knife, but if it's not an Indy hammered knife, it's not a knife. From the forge to the grinder to the sheath, each Indy hammered knife is handcrafted using God-given talent. The result is the sharpest edge a knife can have and a true work of art. See a variety of knives and the complete knife kit at ihknives.com. Indy hammered knives. Custom knives made in America.